It was a day like no other in the past 600 years. That was a comment from a BBC commentator as Pope Benedict XVI, the first pope to step down since Gregory VII in the year 1415, held his final public audience before more than 100,000 people in St. Peter's Square.
Dear friends, God guides his church even in difficult times. Let's not lose our vision of faith, which is the...
Difficult times indeed. The Pope referred to those difficult times as choppy waters, saying at times he felt like St. Peter with his apostles on the Lake of Galilee, a reference to the biblical story in which the disciples were battling against heavy waves and Jesus Christ appeared to them. What roiled those waters? Of course, the ongoing sex abuse scandals, the leaked confidential documents revealing corruption in the Vatican, a shortage of priests, even as the church grows in Africa, and the rift between the Vatican and many American nuns. So what is the road ahead for the Catholic Church? And what's it to non-Catholics? Why do we pay so much attention? Well, we want to do that, spend a few minutes with a veteran Vatican watcher, Charlie Sennett, executive editor and co-founder of the online news website Global Post, a Catholic who covered the last papal transition for the Boston Globe, also wrote one of the first books about the clergy sex abuse scandal, Broken Covenant. And Charlie joins us in the studio. So nice to see you.
Great to see you, Robin.
And first of all, as you listen to the Pope's words today, interpreted, of course, did you hear anything as a longtime Vatican watcher? Was there something that jumped out at you?
I think what you hear is this Pope's attention to history. You know, he sees himself as part of a 2,000-year continuum that goes back to St. Peter. And that's how he views the church. And I think the statement he made about putting the good of the church before oneself is very much like Pope Benedict to say that. I think there are contradictions here, and I think there are questions worth asking, which is how is it that a pope who has been so protective of tradition breaks that tradition by being the first pope in 600 years to resign? And what does that do to the institution's longevity? The reason we think about the pope maybe more than other leaders of churches or other religious faiths is that it's had this great tradition. It's had this great stability to it. That stability is now resting on a foundation that is cracked financially due to the priest sex abuse scandal. It's cracked morally, also due to the priest sex abuse scandal, and faces enormous challenges as it grows as a global church. Why did this pope of great tradition make this decision, which you could look at as selfless and trying to focus on the good of the church, and why would he fast-track the conclave?
The election of the next pope.
Yeah, I think amid all of the frenzy of media, and many of the stories are exaggerated, and I think they're hyped, and I think some things go too far, but I think there are a lot of legitimate questions pouring out continually, and it's worth asking, why is a pope of such great tradition breaking tradition to resign right now?
Well, what's your answer?
I think that the weight of the scandal really weighs too heavily on a frail and elderly pope. I think it's a recognition that there are deep problems with governance within the church. The governance by this pope is flawed. I mean, if you talk to even his closest supporters, will say, this is not a manager. This is a great intellect. This is a great theologian. But as a manager, he has failed.
Well, hold up a second there, because you say it's weighing too much on a frail, elderly man. A lot of people may not have sympathy for that. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just, even this week, we're reminded. The Scottish Cardinal Keith O'Brien resigned after charges that he made inappropriate sexual advances to four men, three of them priests. In the run-up to today, parishioners in L.A. protested their cardinal's attendance at this conclave because of the huge abuse scandal there. We will today hear from listeners who will say, why are you spending so much time on a church that has been racked by scandal? And a lot of the time that's being spent, of course, in television coverage is the pomp and circumstance and almost homage. There are people who don't understand why that's happening, given the scandals in the church.
Well, I think it's a large church. It's the largest church in the world. It's 1.2 billion people. And the great majority of that church is increasingly not in North America. North America represents less than 10% of the Catholic Church. The greatest growth is in Africa. The largest population is in Latin America, 40% of the church, more than four times in North America. This is a global church. This is a global event. So even the BBC, which is not exactly what you would call a Catholic tradition, you know, covers this very closely because it matters. You know, the church does amazing work with the poor and the sick around the world. As it faces this dramatic shortage of priests in the West, how will it manage this church that is critical to helping so many and treads a line where its own moral edicts are challenged every day in the battle against AIDS, every day, and whether or not they're going to lend assistance to people who are gay, for example, and who face death threats in many parts of the world for being gay? Mm. How are they morally going to square themselves with many of these on-the-ground issues? And what moral authority do they hold, given the scandals that have racked the church? These are momentous times. It's the church on a precipice of change. I think it is safe to say, and historians who study a lot more closely than I do would say, this is a moment that is as significant as the Protestant Reformation was.
Enter. That's really?
The church is facing such deep stress cracks in ways that it hasn't since the break that led to the Reformation. We're facing that level of change. And I think that kind of historic moment, if you can look at it sort of over a 20-year arc, you know, history doesn't move on a dime, right? History is measured in centuries within the church.
So is this the, if I got this right, Martin Luther nailing an edict to a door? I mean, is this, you know, I think
the 20-year event of the scandals that have racked the church have created stress cracks in that foundation of the church that are equivalent to what happened with the Protestant Reformation. And I think there's a lot of American Catholics in particular who come from perhaps this spirit of inquiry and spirit of questioning. And those questions are going to come out, and that's a good thing for the church.
Charlie Sennett, executive editor and co-founder of the online news website Global Post and a longtime Vatican watcher, wrote one of the first books here in the Boston area about the church sex abuse scandal. I think saying that we're at a point where the Catholic Church may be breaking apart in a way. Let's pick that up in 1 minute. What does he mean by the comparison to the Protestant Reformation? Also, your thoughts at hereandnow.org. We'd love to hear from you. We'll try to incorporate them. Back in 1 minute, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our conversation about the Catholic Church with Charlie Sennett. We're speaking as Pope Benedict is stepping down today. Charlie, who's executive editor and co-founder of the news website Global Post, has long covered the Vatican. He covered the last papal transition for the Boston Globe and is author of a book about the clergy sex abuse scandal, Broken Covenant. And Charlie, you were just saying that this moment in time you see, because of the many problems that you listed in the church, you see comparable to the Protestant Reformation. So question, do you see the Catholic Church breaking up or being reformed?
Well, I don't see the church breaking up in any big dramatic way with a big split that runs down the middle. But I do think it's fair to say that not since the Reformation has the church faced this level of scandal and strain and challenges to its moral authority. And I think this is a moment for the church to go into the future as a global church or to continue to sort of seek the shadows of this sort of aging hierarchy that has ruled the church for so long. And these are critical questions that Catholic families all over the country are sitting around dinner tables talking about. Yeah. The Catholic Church is divided. There is a real conservative element that has come out of the great papacy of John Paul II. He did have a very historic papacy.
Rock star.
This papacy has been really about being a placeholder for the many changes globally that John Paul II put forward. But it's also been, in the last 8 years of the Benedict papacy, has been an attempt to really assert a conservative agenda with great power and authority, and to really do what Hans Kuhn, a German theologian, really smart theologian, has called a new inquisition against, for example, progressive nuns who really do the work on behalf of the poor in America and all over the world. And at Global Post, we've been looking at this issue of, before the Pope resigned, we were launching a series that looked at the global work of Catholic nuns all over the world and how this papacy has really gone after them, which is going after them in a way that is literally accusing them of what is tantamount to heresy.
Right. These are the progressive nuns in a diminishing pool of nuns. I mean, your series in the Global Post is called A New Inquisition. We'll direct listeners to it. But the Boston Globe also recently reported about the vanishing nuns, 56,000 down from a peak of 180,000 in 1965. Where do you think that's headed, this battle against the progressive nuns?
Having had a few nuns in my life growing up, I'm with
the
nuns.
You mean as teachers?
Yeah. And babysitter. I'm with the nuns. I think they represent a really powerful force for good in the world. They do a lot of work on behalf of the poor.
You might be for them, but what about the church?
But this is what I mean. Yeah. Well, this is what I mean. What is the church? What it's coming down to is how do we define the Catholic Church? Is the Catholic Church us? Or is the Catholic Church the hierarchy in the Vatican? And I think more and more American Catholics who are strong in their faith, who really have great emotional attachment to their faith, they want to ask hard questions. And I'm one of them. As a journalist and a Catholic, I'd say it's a good time to ask the hard questions because the Church does have tremendous strengths. It has great solidity. And I'm not worried about it fracturing or coming apart all of a sudden. That would be an exaggeration. But it's a dramatic moment of change. And it's facing a crossroads right now that is historic.
Well, how does this play out in the choice of a new pope? You mentioned that one of the problems with Pope Benedict, not just that he was frail and elderly, but was not considered a good manager. Patty Agnew on the BBC today said the church needs a CEO who can manage these problems. You're nodding.
I am, because I think that's exactly right. I think this is why it's going to be very interesting to see what happens when the College of Cardinals gather in the Vatican and they make this decision. They will be a college that is largely stacked with conservatives. This is one of the things that Benedict XVI has done. He's put a lot of conservatives into the College of Cardinals. So we shouldn't expect dramatic change. I think it would be, from my own personal perspective, I think it's really a great moment in history to see a pope come from the South, from Africa, or from Asia, or from Latin America, because of the majority of the church is there.
16% of the world's Catholics live in Africa.
16%, 40% in Latin America. And if you take that, the majority live in Latin America and Africa. If you then throw in Asia, you got another 12%. You've got 75% of the church is in the developing world, essentially. So should we have a pope who reflects that? I think many Catholics would say yes. But I think it's very unlikely, because I think what we're going to see is, as you put it very well, a CEO for the church. The church is facing tremendous financial difficulties. It's really a management task. Think about an organization with 1.2 billion people in it that flows to the top. The management structures of the church are incredibly challenging. And if they can find the right leader within the church who can look at modernizing that leadership and making it more inclusive, making it a little bit less papal, a little bit less infallible, that could be really interesting,
but,
too.
You know, we only have a couple minutes here, but the church seems to be up against a wall. It's one thing to say, as, you know, people remember, maybe you don't have to eat meat, you know, no, you don't have to hold to no meat on Friday. That's one. But it seems to be up against very hard and fast things, like 95% of, we understand, 95% of American Catholic women are on birth control. I mean, the women who are of birth control age. Gay marriage is an issue. Women as priests. This isn't fish on Friday. Do you see any of those walls breaking?
I think that there's time for a lot of discussion on a lot of these issues. I think that that many of them are not going to change within the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is going to hold on to its traditional beliefs. It's going to protect what it sees as the sacrament of marriage. It's going to assert a lot of its own morality. But I think there is one thing that I think is very much interesting and on the table and up for debate, and that is pre-celibacy. And I think you're going to see an increased discussion of is that wise? It does not date back to the beginning of the church 2,000 years ago. It's an issue that I think we will see on the table in the future.
Well, we will all be there watching because, as you said, 1.2 billion people and a church that impacts policy and also is wrestling with policy as it does good works around the world. Charlie Sennett, executive editor and co-founder of the online news website Global Post, also author of the book Broken Covenant and a longtime Vatican observer. Charlie, thanks so much for
being
with us. And again, we'd love your thoughts. I'm sorry if I messed up the fish on Friday thing. I know I'm going to hear about that. But your thoughts about his thoughts on the Catholic Church, we'd love to hear them at hereandnow.org. Latest news is next, Here and Now.